name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, now, and shall be, world without end.
Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints.
Praise
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First of all, these cards with the medal of our Lord's face on it, Luisa had a great devotion to the face of Jesus. And these were given to us by Gordon Deary is his name, of the Holy Face Association in Montreal. And he loves the divine will, and he wanted everyone to also have a card about the Holy Face of Jesus. So we are on volume 24, 8:18-28. Then I continued my abandonment of the supreme volition, and I was thinking about the many truths that my beloved good Jesus had told me about the fiat. And he, sighing, added, "My daughter Luisa, for as many truths that I have manifested to you about my divine will, so many divine lives of my divine will have I put out for the good of souls." So as Jesus speaks, a divine life is created. Now, this is why you have to begin to understand from Christ's perspective. Jesus, the Word of God, as he speaks, it's a divine life. Every word is a divine life. Okay? When God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," this is why. That's our God. Our God multiplies continuously. And as Catholics, we know this. In the Blessed Sacrament, like today, we had like, 50 hosts, and it's just for miraculously we got more than 100. But what Jesus wants us to do is to understand that when he says a word, it's a divine life. Okay, so when we read, every time we read a word from Jesus Christ that he has spoken to Luisa, a divine life is born in us. Now, if you're thinking of this humanly, it doesn't make any sense. You have to see it from a divine perspective. Every word that you read in the volumes produces a divine life that lives forever. Again, he's expanding our capacity to embrace divinity. Okay? It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So, like what we just experienced now with the prayer, the command prayer. The parents can now give this to their children. You know, when we bless each other with the blessing of Luisa that's coming up from Father Bucci, you can give this to your children. Doctors can give it to their patients. Teachers can give it to their students. See, if you are in an authority, you have the right to give this. Okay? You just can't give this to anybody and everyone. It just doesn't work like that. But there has to be an authority. There has to be a reason, okay? So he's teaching us how to begin to pray in a way that will produce, again, divine lives. Do you see? Be fruitful and multiply, God said to Adam. This is not just about children. This is about to live every thought, every word, every deed, as a new beginning that God works in us and works in others. That's what he says. "For as many truths that I have manifested to you, Luisa, about my divine will, so many divine lives of the divine will have I put out for the good of souls." And as we read, these divine lives become alive in us. See, it's not just to be doing good and holy and saintly things. That's what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years. Jesus now with Luisa is showing us how to do the things the way he did it. And that's what he said. "You'll do far greater things than I." Well, how can we do far greater things than Jesus? It's when, you know, the first time I thought about that flying, I said, "Lord Jesus, fly in my flying," you know. Jesus did something that he did not do when he was on earth. But I gave him permission to fly with me, to fly and as I prayed this, I allowed Jesus to receive this gift. When I remember the first time I said to Jesus, "Hear in my hearing," when I was listening to music, "Lord Jesus, listen with my listening." And he was delighted. I was filled with joy. Why? because it was the first time I gave permission for Jesus to hear in my hearing. See, as you enter into this gift, you become so one with Jesus that everything that you think, say, and do becomes a divine life. It's to enter into this gift. He says, this is what he has done for the good of creatures. So now, he says, these lives, every word that Jesus said, are so many as to be able to fill the whole world with the life of the divine will and to bring the good that they contain into the midst of souls and the midst of creatures. So as we're reading, see, it's not to stand on a street corner and tell people about Louisa. It's to live this. Okay, if you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're anxious, if you're complaining, if you're negative, Jesus says, you are getting ready for hell. That's your life. But if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, reading and entering into this gift, you are, he says, getting ready for heaven. I'd rather get ready for heaven than hell. And we have to understand that what we do has a consequence. There's blessings and there are curses. What we did for each person this afternoon when we prayed is we said, Lord Jesus, in the most holy divine will, heal this person. That's a blessing. And Jesus is letting us learn this so that we can do this throughout our whole life. That doesn't mean we have the gift of healing. It doesn't mean that. What it means is we're giving Jesus the permission to heal with our command, be healed. Again, don't limit God. You know, always allow him to have free reign with you. You know, this is so essential. He wants us to be healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. He needs us to be healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Again, wait till you see what God's got planned. For the world, they're going to be terrified. We also will be terrified, but at the same time, we will be filled with a trust and confidence in God. So he says, but since these truths are not known, they live hidden, inactive, and without bringing the good that each truth possesses. They are all in waiting with the divine patience for those souls who would open the doors to let them out. That's us. That's what Jesus is hoping for us. Begin to bless people. Begin to not just pray for people, but to bring about healings. Let Jesus heal in your command. Be healed. Stand up and walk. See, this is not just for the apostles of 2,000 years ago. One of the things that Father Bucci gave to us is to become an apostle of the divine will. And with this, we have authority with our family, with our friends. You know, we have authority, you know, if you, again, with the doctors, the more healing should be coming from the doctors. And it's not because they're geniuses and know what to do. It's in their prayer when they anoint their patients with oil, and it only takes a drop of oil on the thumb and the patient doesn't even have to know about it. The patients are being healed. Doctor, you're so great. Well, it's not me. It's Jesus. See, Jesus wants us to be aware of this power that's at our disposal. For our family, your family does not have to be away from you or for the church or from Jesus. You pray in the divine will with full trust and confidence and watch what God's going to do. Again, he says this, the truths are all in waiting with divine patience for those souls who will open the doors to let these truths out. And since this shall be done by those souls who shall occupy themselves with making known to the world that these lives exist, by opening the doors to them, they shall put them on the way into the midst of creatures, so as to let each of them perform the office that they have and hold out the light and the good that they possess. Do you see what Jesus is expecting of us? It's not just to read this, not just to study this, but to put it into practice. You know, who is going to start doing this? With Louisa, again, you can't do anything, but who's going to do this with Louisa? With the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary? Who's going to bring these truths to the world? What is your world? You know, people say, don't you care about the people in India? Well, God bless them, but my world is right here. Who am I affecting right now? How am I affecting them right now? It's as you begin to live this, that Jesus is giving you authority to do this. And like I said, wait till you see the miracles that are going to be happening through the intercession of Louisa. Well, who's going to be performing those miracles? Who's going to be calling on Louisa? It's us. How are these miracles going to happen? It's because of our prayer. See, that if there's no miracles happening, there's only one person to blame, and it's yourself. Jesus is saying to us, I want this accomplished. Stand out and be bold in the truth. This is the gift that he has given us. So he said, in fact, now these truths have feet but cannot walk. They have hands but cannot operate. They have mouths but cannot speak. And why? Because they are our hands, our feet, our mouths. See, Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. Like I said, we have the hardest job. We are living in our human misery, yet Jesus is teaching us the divine will, and we're striving for that perfection. This is the martyrdom of martyrdoms, not giving life to our human misery, not giving life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, but to really be focused on this gift. This is what Jesus is, you know, well, I can't wait until. Well, it starts today with us. Being bold in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. He says very clearly, what an account shall those who keep so many lives inactive not have to give me? Okay, so we can't let these lives be inactive anymore. We have to begin to learn how to live in the divine will. Look at them, my daughter, how they are all in the act of waiting to walk, waiting to operate, waiting to speak, but since they do not make them known, it is as if they had no feet, no hands, no voice. So who has this be made known to? And that is us. We have to know this. Why? Because if we know this, then we begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that's found in Louisa. Not just a virtue or two of Jesus or a virtue or two of Mary, but the true life of Jesus. Where we can say to those that are crippled, stand up and walk. This is the divine will is the power that Jesus wants us to enter into. The dead will come back to life in this great gift of the divine will. So if we're waiting for somebody to do this, again, Jesus is waiting for you to do this. You know, see, if we're still worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, we're still stuck in the human misery. But if we're living in the divine will, we're taking these words of Jesus as truth, as life, as light. And we begin to live this. I looked and oh, how touching it was to see the number of these lives that was so great that I could not count them, all in the act of wanting to move, to speak, to bend down over each creature so as to hold out their hands to them, to let them hear their lessons, to offer them the kiss and the good of the divine fiat. So here's all these truths that Jesus has given to Louisa, and Louisa says they're all waiting for us to begin to let them act in us, these divine lives of every divine truth that Jesus has given to Louisa. These are not just words. So this is why he wants us to focus on the divine will. He is expecting great miracles to occur from the souls who are reading the book of heaven. Great miracles. Not just little miracles. That's Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. Volume 24, 8, 23, 28. The truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will. Jesus said, now he wants us to know about the book of heaven. They are the new gospel of the kingdom. Now, I can't wait for the church to verify this. But this is what Jesus is saying to Louisa. The church one day will verify this. Right now, Louisa's hidden. Louisa's secret. And he's given it to those souls who he's depending that they begin to live the life of the divine will. He says, the truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will, in which they shall find the norms, the sun, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves. Okay, how do we ennoble ourselves? How do we enter into that divine nobility that Adam had before the fall? How do we become, again, lords of the earth that Adam was? See, he fell from being lord of the earth, commanding in all that he thought, said, and did. And why? Because of the original sin. So Jesus had to come as the Lord of Lords and the Kings of Kings. He had to come as the light of the world because everything was in darkness. And now 2,000 years later, they have a newborn, he says, Louisa, the little mother of the little children of the holy divine will. And as we link ourselves to Louisa, then Jesus becomes alive in us. With what? With how to ennoble ourselves to take that state given to us by God at the beginning of creation. To live the life that Adam had before the fall. We are not supposed to die. Our bodies are not supposed to be food for worms. That was never part of God's plan. Never. But because of the original sin, God led us out of the garden so that we would not eat of the second tree, the tree of life. And if we had eaten of that tree, and this is why he put the angel there with a flaming sword, keep us away from that tree, because if we ate of that tree, we would live like this forever. And you can just imagine what the human body would look like in about 1,000 years. If it was anything but a puddle of goo, that would be living. I mean, can you imagine? There's my great, 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 great grandfather over there. Don't step on him. Yeah. He trekked all over the garden the other day, you know. The dog came by and walked at him and... Okay, never mind. just imagine how... Oh. So this body has to die. Why? Because we're going to get a glorified body. That's why today is our day. It's Our Lady's Day, first of all. She was assumed into heaven. But Jesus says it is our day because our bodies are also going to be incorrupt like Our Lady's one day. And again, if we understand the divine will, that's what the divine will is all about. To begin to live a new life with the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus is very, very clear. They shall find that the gospel that, taking them by the hand, shall lead them into true happiness, into constant peace. See, it's everybody now on earth looks for happiness and they end up going to hell. They look for happiness in this world. This is Jesus says, I want to give you true happiness. I want to give you constant peace. So we have to begin to live that now by stopping our worry, our fear, our anxiety, complaints, our negativity, our sin. We've got to stop it. The only law shall be my divine will, that with its brush of love dipped in the vivid colors of its light shall give back to man the likeness of his God. And oh, how they should have yearned to receive and to make known a good so great, but instead all the opposite. So the only law that God has given us is that He brush us dipped with vivid colors of light to give us the likeness of God, image and likeness of God. And that means to do what God does. I mean, we are in the likeness of our parents by the way we look, by the way we laugh, by the way we walk, even by the way we burp. It's the likeness of our parents, you know, and that's what God wants. He wants us to be like Him, image and likeness. But He says we don't have this because we haven't learned to receive and make known to ourselves this great good, these truths of the divine will. The redemption and the evangelists consider themselves honored to make themselves known as the ones who are putting out the gospel, that it might be known by the whole world. With glory they mark their name, so much so that when the gospel is preached, the name of the one who wrote it is stated first, and then it is the gospel spoken. It is the gospel spoken. So I, God, want it to be done with the truths about my holy divine will, that everybody may know the ones that brought so much good into the world. And again, that's Luisa, that's Father Inibele. These are the ones that have done this. And that's why we honor them. You know, how glorious is this? Volume 24, 9, 28, 28. My daughter Luisa, great graces have been given to you and through you to the whole world by manifesting to you so many truths about my divine will. In fact, not only are my divine truths divine lives that my highest good puts out, bilocating this life of its own for as many truths as it manifests, but each one of these lives contain a divine happiness, one distinct from the other, to be communicated to souls, and a glory, one different from the other, that creatures can give back to God who has manifested it. See, it's to do what God is doing, to give this to, it's for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. These divine truths are not only change us, they change the entire world. However, these happinesses shall be communicated to creatures when they come to know these truths. Okay, so if, and I've said this before, when I see someone who says they're reading the divine will miserable, it says to me that they have not read. If you're reading, you're filled with happiness. If you're reading, you're filled with peace. Why? Because it's heaven that you're in as you read. But the souls that are not reading, they're filled with misery. I've said that, you know, many times about the sisters who read the divine will and the sisters that don't read the divine will. The sisters that read the divine will are very, very, very happy. They're in heaven. The sisters that don't read the divine will, they have their human miseries that they have to deal with every day. Jesus is showing us that He wants us to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. He says, these happiness shall be communicated to creatures when they come to know these truths. They are like as many queens, each of whom possesses properties, vast and distinct one from the other. And they are waiting for the peoples to know that these queens exist, that they contain their properties, and yearn and want to enrich and to make happy the ones of whom they were issued from our divine womb. See, it's everything is being born in God. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, you know, he says what he's talking about, the divine will. To be born again and again and again and again. Every day, something new. Every day, something more beautiful. Every day, a greater happiness. This is our God. It's constantly new. Nothing is old. To be born again and again. And if you knew how suffocated our love remains, having released so many happinesses from our eternal womb, for as many truths that we have manifested to you, Luisa, and seeing that the creatures do not enjoy these feasts, nor do they give us the glory that they should give us, because they ignore such a great good, and only because they do not want to occupy themselves with making a known good and graces so great. Jesus is asking us, pleading with us to learn this. This has to go worldwide. And it's not us being on television or us being on the radio. It's when we read this and we study this, someone in China begins to live in the divine will. As we read this and we study this, someone in India begins to live in the divine will. And it's spreading like fire. I look at the Philippines, how happy they are. Why is the Philippines on fire? They were never told not to read. They've been reading for 20 years and they're on fire. Here in the States, unfortunately, half the people have been told not to read. Again, this one man that I met, you know, he knew the divine will in 1971, but he says, I'm going to be obedient. I'm not going to read. And so he has not read anything higher than 19. And I went, oh my God. You know, I said, I'd love to be there when you're reading just to watch your face. This is you're receiving divine truths. Yet he was prevented from reading for the last 20 years because he thought it was in disobedience. How sad that is. How sad that is. But now with everybody hearing that they have been able to read, the world's on fire and the devil is furious. Wait till you see what he's got planned. See, he has to destroy everything. Don't you understand? He has to destroy everyone. Because he knows the kingdom is coming and he wants no one in that kingdom. What's coming is horrific. What's coming is going to be awfully tough for everybody. But with us, as we continue to read, when we are confronted with the chastisements, we will be peaceful. We will be joyful. We will be happy. Why? Because we'll be able to give our fiat in everything. And that fiat is so powerful, Jesus says, that God goes into ecstasy when he hears it. The devil goes into terror when he hears it. So the more that we can say fiat in all the situations, how happy God is, how happy we are, and how miserable the devil becomes. He can't stand it. And this is what God is giving us. He's really asking us to begin to live this life. So he says, okay, where did we end? This is the sorrow. Okay, where on the page? Where? Oh, three lines up from the bottom. Oh, this is the sorrow. Sorry, thank you. My mind goes like, if I don't keep my thumb there, I forget. Sorry. This is a sorrow for us that you cannot comprehend. Okay, again, God wants this done. And the sorrow that he's going through is that he has given these truths to Louisa and nobody is reading them. This is a great sorrow we're giving to our God. As we read this, we begin to produce this life in us. He's, by reading it, God has the permission to enter into us, to reign in us. So he says, therefore, pray incessantly that my divine will be known, that my divine will reign in the midst of creatures, so that I as Father, Jesus as Father of the age to come, that's a title of Jesus, I may break the bread of happiness for my children. So our prayer is a command. We're going to command that the divine will be known, that the divine will be loved, and that the divine will reign. Those are the three things that Jesus asks. We pray with a command, may your kingdom be known, may your kingdom be loved, and may your kingdom reign. Those, as we begin to understand these truths, God begins to be joy-filled. My daughter, Louisa, each truth I have manifested in my divine will, this is volume 25, 10, 17, 28, each truth that I have manifested on my most holy divine will is not only a divine life that I, God, have issued from myself, but it possesses a sweet enchantment to enchant the human will that, enchanted by my most holy divine will, shall feel itself under the enchantment of the inactivity and shall give free field of action to my most holy divine will. So everything that he says puts the human will to flight, and God begins to reign. So that's why you're happy when you're reading the volumes. You're so happy. Why? Because it's putting to flight your misery. So, like, again, I can always tell someone if they call me on the phone and they're grouchy, it's because they haven't been reading. You know, and it's to read, to be joy-filled, to be happy. So he says this. He says, so each truth of my divine will shall be a fierce army against the human will. See, this is, he's going to win. God is going to win. And he can win very quickly in us. Or he says, I'll take centuries. Whatever we want. If we want God to win very quickly in us, then we read, we study, we put this into practice. He says, but do you know what it shall be fierce with? With divine light, with divine strength, with the divine light, with divine beauty, with the divine sanctity. Why? To wage war upon the human will by means of all these divine weapons. The human will cannot win. God is going to win. God is going to be victorious. See, this is the joy. When everything begins to hit the fan, and it's going to hit the fan, I'm only getting glimpses of what's coming, and, you know, I won't say it. Frank, you know it already. All right. No, it's what's coming is going to be really tough, but as we read, as we study, we're going to be able to get through this. It's going to be so horrific that if we do not know Jesus Christ and how much he loves us and how much he has given us, we will be basically not here. We won't be able to endure. It's going to be so bad we won't be able to endure it. But in the divine will, look what Jesus has given us. Divine light, divine strength, divine love, divine beauty, divine sanctity. With these divine weapons, we will win with Jesus. He is the one in us. The human will, before all these weapons, shall undergo a sweet enchantment and shall, listen to this, and shall let itself be conquered by the divine fiat. Therefore, each additional knowledge on the divine will is a greater enchantment that the human will shall undergo. It can be said that all the truths that I have told you, Louisa, about my holy divine will are as many paths as in order to for the divine will to make its way into the human will. And it shall first prepare and then form my kingdom in the midst of creatures. God wins. God is victorious. Our Lady is victorious. We have to understand. Jesus says it's a divine decree, and he wants us to get out of the way so that he can accomplish what he has promised. Now, just as each truth possesses an enchantment, so each act done by the creature in my most holy divine will is an encounter that she has with my divine will to receive all the strength of this divine enchantment. It's like entering into, it's the drop of water entering into the cup filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. That drop of water becomes wine. See, we're going to enter into God and participate in God. We are really nothing. God is everything. And now he's asking us to begin to understand what he's asking. To let him reign in us. Volume 25, 11, 4, 20, 28. My daughter Louisa, for as many truths that I, God, have manifested to you about my most holy divine will, so many lights have unleashed themselves from our divine womb and have fixed themselves where? In Louisa. Where is the light of the divine will? In Louisa Picaretta. This is why I am astonished by her. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? but without detaching from the center of your Creator. So here, this light of God is found in Louisa. He says, it communicates itself, it fixes itself in the creature, and it never loses its center from which it came out. Louisa never loses God. How beautiful it is to see Louisa with all these lights fixed in her that have the virtue of making the one who created her arise again and again and again in Louisa, born again and again and again. And so many times for as many truths that are manifested to Louisa. And since I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, on my divine will, are innumerable truths, so many that you yourself cannot count them all. Many lights, that is, many luminous rays, are fixed in you, Louisa, that descend from God, but without detaching from its divine womb. And these lives form the most beautiful ornaments in you, Louisa, and the greatest gift that you could receive from God. So here, Jesus is showing us that what he has done with Louisa is the light of God is found in Louisa. Okay, now, when we link ourselves to Louisa, Jesus says in another part of the writings, he does not want us to sever the umbilical cord that we have to the womb of Louisa. Think about that. He doesn't want us to sever the umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa. Why? Because Louisa is attached to the divine womb of God. She's not severed. So for us to receive life from God, the first one that Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, gave it to is Louisa. This umbilical cord is given to Louisa. And now from Louisa, we are an umbilical cord to us, never to be separated. What does that mean? Everything of Jesus and Mary's is ours. Everything of God's belong to us. We are not God, but we have an umbilical cord that goes all the way back to the womb of God. That means we're receiving all our life from God himself. This is a mystical understanding, and it's put in human terms, but we have to understand he's trying to show us how important it is to be linked to Louisa, who is linked to God. These lights, he said, form the most beautiful ornament in you and the greatest gift that you could receive from God. And since these truths are fixed in you, Louisa, so where are the truths? They're within Louisa. They give you, Louisa, the right over divine properties. So everything that comes from God is found in Louisa. Therefore, she has right over the divine properties. Now, if we are linked to Louisa, we also have a right of divine properties. This is the command prayer. This is to say, in the name of Jesus, under the Our Lady received the scepter of command from God. That's what Jesus said about his mother. And now Louisa has received the scepter of command from Jesus and Mary. This is the authority that Adam had before the fall. See, Adam fled because he was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. And Jesus now says to Louisa, I'm going to clothe you again with divinity so that you can have the nobility that I originally planned for man. You're going to receive it again. Not to be good and holy and saintly like the saints, but beyond that, to live as true sons and daughters of God. This is why this gift is so astonishing. Again, if you just read this in front of the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord is going to show you how much he loves us. Yeah, again, this is just amazing. He says, so many rites for as many truths that I've manifested to you, Louisa. You cannot comprehend the great dowry that you have been endowed with by God. With these truths that like many divine lights are fixed in your soul. The whole of heaven is amazed at seeing so many divine lights in you, Louisa, and they are all pregnant with many divine lives. See, God is God of the living. He says, be fruitful and multiply. This is just not children, but divine lives from the divine truths. Again, you have to see this from a divine perspective, not from a human perspective. We're talking about divine realities in human terms. He says, and as you communicate these truths to other souls, this divine light winds its way. This divine light fixes itself in other hearts, but without leaving you, Louisa, and forms divine life wherever it reaches. Again, this is the unsevered umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa. We are never going to be separated from Louisa, who is never going to be separated from Jesus and Mary. See, it's to begin to live a life that Jesus possessed. And think about it, what he said to Peter when Peter was walking on water. Peter said, if it is you, Jesus, command me to walk on the water. Jesus says, come out. And he's walking on the water. He gets about 20 feet and he starts to sink. And Jesus goes, why did you falter? Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? Jesus says the same thing to us. He wants us to do divine things. No one at this point can do divine things. But with, like Peter, command me and I will do it. And we're learning, this is the command prayer that Jesus wants us to produce. It's Jesus commanding. We're not commanding anything. It's Jesus in us saying, let it be done. Do you see how much our Lord loves us, that he has given us to do what he has done? You'll do far greater things than I, Jesus said. So this is where we are, and this is what God is expecting of us. So he says, okay, it fixes his heart. Okay. And as you communicate to other creatures, this divine light winds its way, it fixes itself in other hearts without leaving you, Louisa, and by forming the divine life wherever it reaches. And therefore, my daughter Louisa, what a great treasure has been entrusted to you with so many truths that I have told you on my most holy divine will. So Jesus is saying, this is a great treasure. This is a treasure that has its source in the divine womb of God that shall always give light without ever ceasing. So again, God is the God of the living. He's always, it's new births, new life, especially in everything that Jesus says. He says very clearly, my truths are more than sun and gives light to the earth, invests the earth, fixes on the earth, and in fixing it on the earth, it gives birth on the face of it and for each thing to the effects and the good that its light contains. So again, this is a divine reality of these divine lives that are found in the truths that Jesus has given to Louisa. And as we read these truths, each one of us, as we read one truth, there's a new life in each one of us, a new divine life. So as many times as you read it, he expands our capacity even to receive more. So he says, but jealous, it does not attach its light from its center in Louisa. And this is so true that as it moves on to illuminate other regions, the earth remains in the dark. On the other hand, the sun of my truths, while it does not detach from its center, fixing itself in, this is where it should Louisa be, not where I said it before. It does not detach from its center, fixing itself in the soul, in Louisa, forms in Louisa the perennial day, the new day. There's no more darkness. This is why St. Padre Pio said, Louisa is a second sun. It will give light and life to everyone and to everything. And as the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up. There is no more darkness with Louisa. This is what Jesus promises us. And this is what Jesus wants us to possess. So, again, recognize that God has given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, Louisa Picaretta and the divine will. And he is expecting us to begin to live this life. It's not, unfortunately, it's not for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners at this time. It's for us to begin to live this so that they will be able to have it. It's our job is he calls it the mission of missions, the apostle of apostolates. And what Father Bucci gave us to become apostles of the divine will, that's what we now have directly from Louisa. Louisa blessed Father Bucci. Father Bucci gave this to us. And he says, I want to give you what Louisa gave me. So this is astonishing to become apostles of the divine will. And it's not to go out and preach. It's to know this. It's to begin to live this. And as you read, as you go to your room and you close the door, as you read, as you study, together with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, your life changes. The world changes. See, it's to be an apostle of the divine will is to know what we are talking about. And that means you have to know the 36 volumes. You have to live these 36 volumes. So it's not going out telling people you got to do this. It's to live it. And as you live this, you become, like Louisa, a bearer of light, of life, of love. And the people will say, I want what you have. What do you? Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Why are you so peaceful? And all you have to say, it's Louisa and the divine will. It's what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa. I have it. What is it? It's here. It's within me. And if you want it, I can give you something to get so that you can have it. Give them like the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary, or Father Bucci's book on Louisa. At first. And let them read it. Let them study it. And let them come back to you. And let them say, do you have anything more? When they say that, you got them. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right.